The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his service, in his khidmat, one companion, one sahabi, he came into the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he requested that, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, can you please give me a nasiha? Can you please give me some advice? This is a hadith that I am sharing with you, presenting in your service. So this companion, this sahabi, he asked, and his coming to the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and especially for himself to request nasiha, advice, this was a special discussion. There was a special point here. The first point that we learn here is adab. We have been taught adab here, manners, that when an individual goes to a gathering, a majlis, a gathering where deen is being taught, deen is being educated, Islam is being explained, then how should you approach that gathering? How should you attend that gathering? The first other point of manners for attending the gathering is that individual should make niyyah, intention, and really clearly think that I will sit down in this gathering and I will hear about Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and hadith will be mentioned in the gathering, the Quran will be presented, discussed, and then I, from that sitting, I will attain a learning. I will acquire some learning, nasiha, some advice, that I, who is attending this gathering, whatever Allah Ta'ala allows me to hear and learn in the gathering, then I will improve my life with that. I will save myself from the sins. I will increase my concern for the hereafter. I will try my best to save myself from hellfire. I will try to increase my love for Allah. This is, or these are the meanings of nasiha. So this companion also, this sahabi, this nasiha he requested from the Prophet ﷺ, with this intention he did it, because he was a companion, that, O Prophet of Allah ﷺ, please tell me such a statement through which I can improve my life and my hereafter can become good and I can be saved from the sins. And Allah and His Rasul ﷺ's ahkams, orders, I can start to obey. So this is a very complete point. This is a complete learning, that this learning and principle isn't just for the Sahaba. This was one companion who went there, but this learning is for the whole Ummah, the whole nation of the believers. And today we also sat at Bolton, UK, using that same nasiha with the barakah of that companion. What's the reason? That why did this learning of the Sahabi arrive to us? There's a reason for this. The reason is that the Sahaba and this Sahabi, he had a fantastic sincerity, ikhlas, to learn the deen. So the barakah, blessings of his ikhlas is such that until Qiyamah, the day of judgment, Allah spread that learning wide and far. So whenever you hear something with sincerity, or you explain something with sincerity, then Allah Ta'ala puts a lot of mercies into that physically. So here, our pious predecessors, when they present this hadith, when they teach this hadith, then they definitely say that sit down attentively. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ is about to advise, and the advice is coming to us right now today. So take the sahabi out from in between. Just think mentally that Allah's Prophet ﷺ personally is giving each and every one personally nasiha, advice. He's not ordering you, he's not instructing you, and he is personally giving his nasiha, advice to you. So pull yourself together, and then for this will be a very beneficial statement. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which person, man, can be out there who can give you a great advice to you, and you think you won't get benefit from this? Tell me. I'll ask you a question. So my brothers, today this point, listen clearly, attentively, in that manner and style that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us nasiha, advice, he's given us a favor, he's given us a mercy, he's given us a great favor, and he's telling each and every one of us that the life that you are going to come to you in your life tomorrow, you'll be safe from hell if you obey what I'm saying today. If you follow my guidance today, you'll be rightful owners of paradise. As long as you are in this world alive and you follow my advice, even this world for you will be a path of guidance. It will open the doors of goodness, and you will be safe from difficulties, you'll be safe from poverty and hardship, and you will be given true success. So this is nasiha of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now let's come specifically to the point. The style, Mubarak, blessed style of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was that he never put a burden on any individual. Rather easy, simple, beautiful, such a brilliant, excellent manner he used to present the deen, that just like you can say that you could seal it very easily, the message that he would give to someone. And beyond that, even the most illiterate of the human beings, he would understand nicely and simply. Even a child would understand the deen that the Prophet ﷺ explained. Why? Because the Holy Prophet ﷺ, his blessed words, they weren't philosophy. He didn't come here to teach us philosophy. He didn't come to give lengthy explanations. He wanted, the Prophet ﷺ, I want to present so simply this nasiha and guidance to this human being so that he can start to practice on what he's learned. So here, so many principles we're learning from this nasiha. So many vast treasures we're learning from this one nasiha. But it's a very short statement. So when the companion said, O Prophet of Allah, please advise me. So he stated with his blessed words, إِلَيْكَ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. The Prophet ﷺ, subhanAllah, what a great statement. The whole Quran, did he give it commentary? Did he read verses? Did he give lengthy technical points, lengthy explanation? No, straightforward. A sahabi has come, simple man, companion. And let me tell him such an easy point that the whole deen comes into the answer. So this one blessed statement of the Prophet ﷺ, the whole Islam, alaykum bi taqwallah. What did the Prophet ﷺ say? So here's the nasiha. Listen carefully. This is for me and for you. The Prophet ﷺ is for me and for you. Yes, that if we want to be good, practice the deen, we want to attain goodness, that is a destination for a Muslim, for a believer, and it's a must, then for him, the Holy Prophet ﷺ is prescribing here, alaykum bi taqwallah. That such a fear generate inside you there should be such a fear of Allah. And what fear should there be? Look at this very simple statement, that whenever you are about to do an action, any action in life, and in our life we have all actions, X, Y, Z, A, B, C. When you're about to do any action, A to Z, then think beforehand. Whenever you're about to do any action, task, you're about to take a footstep, your business, your premises, your home, you're going to do shopping, you're about to get married, you're thinking about marriage, there's some distress, sorrow, there's an unhappy event, you want to speak to someone, you have to make a decision, it's about employment, job, all circumstances of life that confront us. So then the whole book is open up that whenever you are faced, any Muslim is about to do any action step, then be careful of one thing. Be careful of this one thing. Whoever is careful of this one thing, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, then all the benefits are told you in advance. The whole of the benefits will come into his life and his deen. So what's this prescription? Advice? that this fear of Allah should come into you, this fear should be generated inside you, then whenever you're about to do any action and about to take a step, then definitely think this, then this action is Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam's disobedience in this action. Say Subhanallah. This is what you mean. End of story. End of story. So when you think this inside you, you think this and you're about to take a step, then tell me, will you do any haram action? Will you do a bad action? Will you swear at anyone? Will you take anybody's rights? Will you take a wrong action? Any action of your life, if before that, even if you're going to sleep, you will think that, am I doing this action according to the preference of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or am I just following my opinions? I can share a hadith with you on this point. In other words, in front of us, this is a minor. I'm tired, take my clothes off, throw them away, run into the bed, I'm tired. I'll think about the morning, and you just fall asleep suddenly, drowsy, and you're sleeping. Even here, if we just stop for a second, and if you generate this thinking inside you, this fear, I'm going to sleep now, I'm about to go to sleep, rest. Okay, so now I'm about to go to sleep. In this action, that what is Allah's order? Am I disobeying Allah in any way when I go to sleep? When the person goes to sleep, and an example has come in my mind, so I'm just sharing it with you. Real life example. So when a person goes to sleep on his mattress, in his bed, what does the hadith tell us to do? That we don't look at the hadith. The Prophet of Allah has shown to us all facets of life. And those who believe, they look in such a way that physically it's happening in the life, because this is about your iman. That Rasulullah has demonstrated and explained, commentated, that when you go to sleep, do you know what happens at that time? Oh, Prophet of Allah, what happens? Suddenly, shaitan runs on one side and an angel runs on another side. This happens with us every day. Remember this now, what I'm saying. So, that person has this concern inside him, that he wants to do the right thing. So, this action I'm about to do, I'm going to lie down on my mattress. So, am I disobeying Allah in any way while I'm going to sleep? Am I doing something wrong? So, because you've generated that thinking, and every action you do in your life before that, you do think that, am I doing this right way or am I doing this in the wrong way? Am I obeying Allah or am I disobeying Allah? A person like me who's tired, he just jumps on the bed, I'm not doing a sin anymore, I'm just going to sleep. But think in the positive way. The other person thinks. What's happening? Shaitan comes at the same time and an angel comes at the same time. And shaitan, he wants to grab that person who's going to sleep. And he tries so hard, shaitan, that I want him to finish his life with the shar, or finish that day with the shar, evil. So he tries hard, shaitan, to catch him. Because the day is ending. You're going to sleep, the small death. And the angel comes also vigorously, aggressive, that I want to protect this man, I want to preserve this person. So it depends on that person. Subhanallah. Look at the deen that we're being taught. So it depends on me. Look at myself. The angel's coming as well when I'm going to sleep, and the shaitan's coming as well. And I, depends all on me what I do at that time. So if I start to think that way of thinking, that I want to sleep the way Allah's advised, oh, it's alright, I'll do what I want, then with that caution, I will approach my sleep. What will happen then? Then I will definitely read that dua, which is the dua that has been taught to us for departing, for leaving. I can recite in Urdu or Farsi, or I'll just say, Allah, please forgive my sins, I'm going to sleep. Allah, please put blessings into my sleep. Allah, and wake me up with protection. This is also dua, if you don't remember in Arabic. But what's the reason here is that you have got connection with Allah even when you go to sleep, that you are making a decision with Allah before you go to sleep. You're deciding on your life. So even if you generate this minimum thinking, then what happens is that when that angel, and he says, shaitan goes to grab that person, when he does this dua and he makes that discussion with Allah and he has that concern, awareness, I'm doing this action for Allah, I won't disobey Allah, I repent to Allah, then I'll go to sleep. And I all day long, I did wrong actions, I committed sins during the day, I disobeyed Allah, I made mistakes without thinking, consciously, unknowingly. Let me ask Allah for forgiveness. I'm going to sleep. This is the tariqah of the sunnah of going to sleep. This is the way. So you can say in any Arabic, if you don't know Arabic, say in Urdu, Punjabi, English, all languages Allah accepts. All languages. Allah, forgive me, I'm going to sleep, I don't know how I pass my day today, and I'm feeling sleepy, Allah give me good sleep, Allah save me from shaitan. And that time when he does the action, then what happens? Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. The angel suddenly surrounds that believer, the angel. And from all four sides, the protection comes to that believer. Soon as the angel protects, then shaitan, he runs away from that person and he sleeps nicely. If he doesn't do this and he doesn't have that thinking, he doesn't have concern, I'll sleep as I go on, I can do what I want, doesn't matter, not necessary, has no fear, he jumps into bed, then shaitan gets the chance. In the hadith, it's stated that shaitan, he surrounds that person and then, what does he do at that time? He knows that this person himself, he doesn't want to connect to Allah. So shaitan, he grabs that person, all night long he's with that person, and he distracts that person in a shaitani way. He wakes him up, he doesn't let him wake up in the morning at the right time, and he shows him weird dreams, and he disturbs him all night long. Shaitan disturbs him. So what does this mean? This learning again is that the Holy Prophet said, "Laykum taqwallah," that bring, generate, develop a thinking inside you throughout your life, that every life action of a Muslim, never will he get, even in a worldly action, he'll not get a loss. For example, if you want to start up a business, and if you think, "I'm starting up this business," if you generate this thinking and the khawf and fear, you'll think, "If I do this action, then am I doing something wrong? Is it haram I'm doing something? Is Allah unhappy with me?" Shaitan will say, "No, ya, do this, is very good. There's lots of profit here for you. Oh, after a few days, doesn't matter, a few days of haram, it's okay, you can do that. After that, you'll get the profit." Shaitan's advising you. But inside you, you have that awareness, that consciousness, that fear. You have the fear of Allah inside you. He says, "No, I can't do this action and this earning. This is disobeying Allah. I will not take on this task or job or business." So the whole game of life, even though it's a minor hadith in terms of length, but the whole life, if you want to be saved from the sins, you want to be pious, upright, righteous, then develop this thinking awareness. Alaykum bitaqwallah. Every action you take, any step you take in your life, before that, big or small, suddenly think about it. And in your heart there should be a concern, a fear. "Ya, I'm about to do this action. Will I stop praying salah? There's haram in front of me here. It's unlawful. Oh, women folk are working as well here." Or the women folk say, "Oh, the men are working well, so it's okay. Oh, I'm a woman of my own. I'll travel this far to go to work. Or I'll do this action. Is this right? No, Allah will be unhappy with me if I do this," says the sister. "And if I earn from this, there'll be no blessings in this." So think, so and so, all of the tasks and steps of life, sisters and brothers, every man takes a step without thinking, a sister takes a step, a man takes, we don't know that is Allah happy with this or not, is Allah agreeing with this or disagreeing with this, we don't bother about it, we just take the steps. And what's the conclusion? Then the person is destroyed, the life is distracted, and ups and down, distress. He thinks, "I'm fine for a few days, but these old temporary pleasures," and he has gone against Allah's pleasure and taken a step in life. He hasn't thought that I'm about to do this action and how much Allah will be unhappy with me, and he just openly, bravely does those actions. Do you understand what I'm saying, brothers? So how great a hadith this is that we've discussed today. If we practice on this hadith, that before any action of your life you think, "There's Allah unhappy with what I'm about to do," wallahi, whoever went develops this thinking, forget me saying, your life in this world will become paradise if you think like this. You'll have no concerns. Will you eat haram? Will you have a fear of anyone? No. No fear. Beautiful from morning until night. Your every action, if you think like this beforehand, "I'm about to do something. Is Allah unhappy with me?" For example, another example I'll give to you. I'll give you an example according to the men folk. So now he's gone to wash his hands and face. He's gone to the washroom, bathroom. Yeah, I want to wash myself. You know, obviously we have go in the morning to the bathroom, get ready for work. There are different ways. One goes in the bathroom, he goes straight in to the toilet, and he looks as that I want to, for example, wash my face. He looks at his face first, externally, because he has no fear inside. And there's another person who goes to the bathroom toilet. He goes, "No, yaar, if I do this action properly, astaghfirullah, if I do it wrong, Allah will be unhappy. So Allah Ta'ala has prohibited me to do this wrong. The Holy Prophet has ordered us that keep the beard and trim the moustache, and how can I go into the bathroom and start that day by shaving my beard?" So when he has this fear, alhamdulillah, then he won't trim his beard, shave his beard, and he'll be saved from a major sin. Major sin. Do you understand what I'm saying? So this is the start of the day. Soon as we get up from the bed in the morning, we do a haram action, we run into the bathroom and do that wrong action, then all day long we got curses and difficulties. "Oh, yaar, I prayed salah. I did tasbih, dhikr." But think at least that your start of your day was with a major sin when you went into that bathroom and did that wrong action. And sin is such a reality. Sin is such a reality that when the human being commits the sin, doesn't matter how much worship it is after that, but that sin doesn't allow nur, light, to come into your life. There will be no light in your salah because you started the day with the sin. You started the day with the sin. That darkness and light cannot combine. Darkness and light, can they combine? Impossible. So how can you say that I'll wake up in the morning and do a sin, then I'll do good deeds after that? How can you combine the two? It's impossible. So whenever you start to do good action, then first and foremost, what should you do? Do istighfar and repent for your sins. "Oh Allah, forgive me, forgive me. I'm about to do good action. I'm about to pray salah. Allah, forgive my sins. I promise that the sins I'm doing, that I do tawbah, repent, I leave them." Then when you pray salah, then that salah will become ruh. Then that salah will become person sinning, and he does the wrong actions in the morning and says, Allahu Akbar, and he prostrates. What's the point? I won't say there's no benefit. I won't say there's no benefit because he stood, he's praying salah, he's doing sajda, but he's wasting his worship. Allah's given him tawfiq, he's got iman, belief, everything, but he's wasting his worship with the sin in parallel. The sin is a very wretched and cursed thing, sin. So when we have this power and awareness that this action, am I doing this wrong? Then he won't do that wrong action. So the first nasiyah, alaykum bi taqwa Allah, that develop the fear and power inside you. And the next question, look how the Prophet gave advice, that this advice that Allah is telling us, that when you get the strength and fear, that before you do any action, you are assigning it to Allah, that Allah, I'm doing this action, are you unhappy? I won't do it. If you give permission, Allah, then I'll do it. This thinking, this awareness, how can this come into our life? The Holy Prophet gave the solution as well. Second question. Say Subhanallah. Suddenly he said to the companion, because we need to develop this awareness, this mindset. How can we develop this mindset? That before we do any action, we're thinking that Allah and His Nabi immediately gave the solution how to develop this mindset. And what was the solution? He said that we don't have that importance alive. We don't even consider Allah and His Rasul before we do any action. That's why our deen today is what we don't know about haram, halal. We don't know about praying on time. We pray when we want, leave when we want, sin when we want, leave when we want. Do as we please. There's no hisab in our life. Do what we feel like, leave what we feel like. We don't know if it's halal, correct, incorrect. Is this good? Will Allah be happy with this? Is Allah pleased with this? We have no care regardless of whatever my heart feel like. My mind says I do it. So then, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated the second point. There's such a big learning to acquire this awareness. Wadhkurullah. This is the solution. This is the way to develop this approach of life. Wadhkurullah kulli shajri hajri. That Allah's dhikr, do the remembrance of Allah. Remember Allah, that we have no importance for Allah's dhikr. When we say dhikr, with full description, the Prophet said, how will you develop this positive mindset so that your deen can be practiced in your life? How can you get to that point? Wadhkurullah, do the remembrance of Allah. And how should you do it? In the kulli shajarati hajrat. That do so much dhikr in your life that wherever you are, wherever you are, marketplace, desert, city, countryside, your business place, work, wherever you are in your life, wherever you are stood, every moment you should be busy and occupied in the dhikr of Allah. Subhanallah. It's hadith. Hadith. Who is saying this? Allah's Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do we do dhikr of Allah? Do we do dhikr of Allah? So now, I am saying this, that nasiha, the advice, the Prophet, why are we listening to his advice? So that we can improve ourselves. So that we can improve ourselves, and whatever's lacking in our lives, we can get rid of that thing that's lacking. Yes, that we don't come to listen to nasiha to, it's not music or singing, we're sitting here for it. It's not music, singing or festival here, is it? When you come to listen to the nasiha of the advice of the Prophet, then compare yourself like you stood in front of a mirror looking at your face. What's lacking in my life? Then do dua. Allah, please let me get rid of these things that are lacking in my life. So Allah has given us His favor. That this awareness that you will develop inside you, that your deen will be improved. How? Wadhkurullah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Remember Allah. And how? We say, Allah, we remember you. I do this tasbih, this many tasbih, this much repetition. Not tasbih, dhikr is stated in the kulli shajra. That every moment, every second do the dhikr of Allah in high quantity, abundance, regularly, consistently do dhikr of Allah. Fully occupied. When you're fully occupied with dhikr in your life, Allah Ta'ala says, then I put the effect in my dhikr that you will then have emotions develop inside you, feelings, positive mindset will be developed, and you'll have a fear that every action you do A to Z in your life, before that, until you don't have that belief, conviction, that Allah is not unhappy with this action, until then you won't take a step or take a hand towards that action, doesn't matter how much benefit you see in the action. Subhanallah. This is dhikrullah. My brothers, dhikr, the importance of dhikr is so much that you cannot imagine. If we think that my life, how much dhikr practically am I doing in my life? How much dhikr, how much do I remember in my life? The greatest deficit in our deen right now in this day and age, the biggest deficit. And we don't run towards the deen the way that Allah and His Habib, the Prophet has prescribed to us the solution to improve. So the importance of dhikr has come out of our hearts. Oh, dhikr is for pious people, our elders. If someone does dhikr, oh, you do dhikr to become wali Allah. I don't need to be wali Allah. Only those people, the Allah walas, the sheikhs, they do dhikr. No, every man, woman, believer, as soon as the child is born, soon as the child is aware and starts to pray salah, tell the child about dhikr. It's fard, compulsion, that if you want to live a good life in a proper way, then do one action. Grab hold of dhikr firmly in your life. And here Allah Ta'ala has recorded this in writing. Allah Ta'ala has given a link that if dhikr doesn't come in your life, you will not be able to do dhikr in your life unless you make a connection with the teacher who teaches dhikr. When you meet a wali Allah who teaches dhikr, you sit in his company, sohbat, to acquire the teaching of dhikr, then alhamdulillah, not your life, to the generations of your offspring, there will be goodness in your families. They will be protected today. Look at the lives of those people. Those who in their lives, they brought dhikr into their lives. Those who brought dhikr into their lives, look at their lives. Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Look how great lives they are leading. Allah has made their life elevated because after doing dhikr, the dhikr that's being prescribed to them alongside dhikr, they have an awareness that this action's wrong, I'm not going to do it. They are saved from the sins. When a person saved from the sins, then suddenly what happens? Then he draws near to Allah. Close to Allah, remember this. And as soon as you leave the sin, you will draw near to Allah. And as soon as a person commits a sin, he's far from Allah. Two opposites. So when this thinking comes, he doesn't do the sin. When he doesn't do the sin, then he draws near to Allah. And when he draws closer to Allah, then he has love for Allah. And when he has love for Allah, then Allah says, I am also loving you, my servant. I am also loving you, my servant. So this is the sequence. So where does it start from? Dhikrullah, the remembrance of Allah. Step number one. So my brothers, colleagues, try, make effort in your life. Otherwise you'll waste your life. The life will be a waste. Bekar. Don't do any action in your life. Main objective of our life is that any action you do, do it in accordance to Allah's obedience. Just like Allah has ordered, instructed and liked. Allah has given our life as a test, as a challenge. All the verses of the Quran, Allah tells us that in this dunya I have sent to you, you have been born and sent to this world after creating you. Allah says, you should have concern while you're living. The why have made classes of life? Why have I made you? Allah says in the Quran, I've given you this definition of life. That why have I given you different grades and ranks and status? Somebody's rich, somebody's poor, somebody's sick, somebody's got difficulty, somebody's got tragedy, somebody's got happiness, somebody's got sorrow. Why is everyone in a different situation? Why do you think, why was Allah like this? Why did Allah make him like this? Allah said, I purposely made all these scenarios so that all of you are living your lives in different ways. Somebody's got sorrow, somebody's got tragedy, somebody's got happiness, somebody's got riches and wealth, somebody's got poverty, somebody's a millionaire, somebody's poor. Someone says, whatever I touch, it turns to gold. Someone says, I work so hard, there's no blessings, my money gets wasted within days. Who's doing all of this? Allah says, I have selected all these scenarios. I have formulated all these scenarios. Why? This is my hikmah, my wisdom. Allah says, because I want to test you. I want to challenge you. I want to see how you react. When I give you money, that some people I test with the money, wealth. And when I give you wealth, does he utilize and spend the money accordingly? And is he grateful for the money? Or does he go more towards disobedience? And women folk become disobedient. When they're rich, they leave their salah, they buy big cars, and they buy houses, and they enjoy themselves in modesty, nakedness. Allah says, this was my test for these people. So Allah says, what do I do then? This is the whole verse I'm explaining to you. Allah says, what do I do then? That this servant, I gave him ni'mah, wealth, and he wasn't grateful for the wealth. Allah says, shadidul iqab. Then I give him azim, great, severe punishments, immerse that person. This is the Quran that's telling us this. Allah said, I gave him wealth, dawlat. He thought, it's me who earned the money. I achieved this. And instead of being grateful, and he should have worshipped me more, Allah says, when I gave him wealth. He should have become more Islamic, more religious, more Islamic environment in his family. And he should have saved himself more from haram. Because I gave him halal risk, halal earnings. This was my test. But he wasn't successful. And I will make him zaleel and wretched. Then somebody I made poor, Allah says. I made him poor. Poverty, after he was poor. I wanted to test him with poverty. And he should have had tawakkul and reliance in Allah. He should have been grateful. And he should have had sabr, endurance, patience. But he wasn't patient while he was in poverty. And then he broke all the rules, transgression, haram, interest, loans, deceiving people. I want to get rich quick. Get rich quick. Eat that person's money. That person's money. This is mine. That's mine. He didn't leave anything under the sun. And he didn't give any inheritance rights to his children. And to get rid of his poverty, this is mine and that's mine. This is yours. He tried so hard, unlawful means, from this country, second country, third country, wandering around the world. I want to get rich. Allah says, what happens then? I make him wretched and cursed. Why? Because he sold his life in the dunya. He tried to become rich, foolish person. Here you should have been patient. The verse of the Quran I'm sharing with you. This is a verse of the Quran. I can read this verse if I had the Quran in front of me. You should have been patient. So the wealthy person, Allah gave money, he wasn't grateful. And he went towards haram. He carried on going more towards haram. And his children went towards haram. Ungrateful in his house. Salah was not prayed. He had no fikr. He was worried about shop and wealth. And he didn't care that my child doesn't pray salah. He doesn't pray salah. He disobeys. He does fraud. My daughters, they do wrong actions. He had no concern. He had just one concern. Money. And what Allah said, he's failed. Shadeedul iqab. Severe punishment. The other person, poverty. He wasn't patient. He ran after haram. And shadeedul iqab. Allah said, severe punishment. Then Allah says after that, that these people, amongst these people, those who are grateful, those who are patient, who had endurance in both wealth and poverty, they redeemed in Allah and they changed their route of life. For that person, Allah says, give them a high grade paradise destination. High grade paradise destination. So this is our life that we need to live. This is our life, the definition of life. My brothers, the Quran, how it explains to us, alhamdulillah, think about it, how the Quran describes nicely. So that person, those people who are in between, who are those people? That there was one group of people, they were such that at the time of being grateful and the time of exercising patience, they'd slip. They'd try. The poor soul, I want to do good, but he couldn't do it. He had the intention, but then he'd come back towards the right path. And in poverty, he would go towards sabr, then he'd trip up and slip up, but he would try, he'd make effort, he was trying his hardest, he'd ask Allah for forgiveness, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, for that person, there's a third destination. Allah says, that I am Ghafoor Rahim, so what will I do? That I will look at his hard work, effort. He used to try, the poor soul, but he'd fall down, so Allah says, I'll forgive that person, who tries. So there are three ranks, say Allah has mentioned, three grades. Do you understand the description? So there's a different ways Allah gives us up. Sometimes Allah gives punishment in this way or this way. When punishment and difficulty is coming in your life, then what you do immediately, understand, it's your test. And in this test, I'm going to do those actions. What does Allah demand from me? If there's extreme difficulty in your life, then exercise patience and don't go towards haram. Allah will open up the path for you, the solution for you. Don't go towards haram. Remember this. So this, when will this happen? Allah says, Alaykum bitaqwallah, that in this time when you develop a mindset awareness that I want to develop Allah's fear inside me. And one beautiful hadith of the Prophet, look how many doors this hadith opens up to other hadith. This nasiha of the sahabi asking for the nasiha, and we have understood the explanation. And where will this come from? How will you develop this mindset? From the dhikr of Allah. Remember, so step number one in our life is what? That whatever we are, we're sinful, we're broken, we're weak. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, grab hold and learn the dhikr of Allah. Grab hold of the dhikr of Allah. And somehow learn what is dhikr. Go to a wali Allah, shaykh, say, shaykh, teach me the dhikr of Allah. Yes? And present your circumstances. I do this job, this business, this. And according to my circumstances, teacher, please prescribe to me dhikr. So I'm included amongst those who do dhikr kathir. Consistent dhikr. And Allah will give you the bounty. Allah will give you this favor and Allah will help you. The shaykh, the teacher will assist you. Because that's the duty Allah has given to the wali Allah. That's his task, that you must enable the creation, human beings, to do dhikr of Allah. Explain to them, prescribe to them, help them. So take steps, find a teacher. And this nasiha, this advice of Allah's Rasul has arrived to us today. So make an intention that, and think, assess, in my life, is all of my actions, are they according to Allah's desires and permission? That am I doing all my actions A to Z in my life according to Allah Ta'ala's preference? If you're not, then I am extremely in a deficit. And how do I make up for that? By doing dhikr of Allah. Allah says, وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Those who do dhikr kathir are successful. May Allah give us the tawfiq. Ameen. وَآخْرُ دَوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Because time is short for dhikr, so inshallah, after Isha prayer, we will do the dhikr gathering.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. As-salatu was-salamu ala sayyidina Muhammad, shafi'i al-muslimin, tawhawa ya sayyidina habib al-amin. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin nabiyyil ummi, suhajihi wa mahatil ummi, wa zurriyatihi wa ahli baytihi, thumma sallaytu ala ali ibrahim wa innaka hamidum majid. Sallim tasliman da'iman abadan kaseeran kaseera. Allahumma ighfir lana dhunubana wa zunubana نزلنا وجدنا خطونا عملنا كل ذلك لنا اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمت وما اخرت وما اسررت وما اعلنت وانت اعلم انت المقدم وانت المؤخر لا اله الا انت ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا جنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلبي على دينك ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين نبيين صدقين الشهداء والصالحين حسن أولئك رفيقا اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم استقبلنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته واشرنا في زمرته يا كريم يا كريم اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك من نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعنا منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه نور عرشه زينة فرشه وآله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.